If you are a Buddhist tour already or so called enlightened being,
Yes.
do you still keep on thinking? You know, when you say keep sentient beings in your thoughts,
yes.
Could you please clarify this?
Yeah, I think it's a very good question. I will explain this to you. Otherwise, you all may not have the understanding. You see, there are two aspects to the Dhamma. One is the conditioned world, the conditioned Dhamma. The other one is the unconditioned. So when you mention that Bodhisattva are enlightened beings, they shouldn't hold on to thought because of attachment, craving, and clinging, and all those things. But you have to understand the reason why they have to do it, because they are Bodhisattvas. They understand all this, and they have to come back. So to come back, they also know the hallmark of winning. The second one is no mark. No mark of a self-cultivating. No mark of living beings. No mark of Dhamma. No mark of life existence. Everything is not real. Empty. Dependent originating. Condition arising. Then why do they still hold on to a sentient being? A human being? The word compassion and all those things. Because according to Heart Sutra, in true emptiness, all this don't exist. Even the Dhamma also don't exist. The Four Noble Truth also don't exist. But within the conditional, it exists. That's why they need this to come back as a Bodhisattva. They need that sentient being out of love for the sentient being, the living being. So this pure love and compassion, which exists within the conditioned world, can give rise to the condition for them to actually come back to rebirth without avijja. That's why out of love and compassion, there is a pure mind. But the vow and their aspiration to do that, to liberate and take across all living beings, that is the one that gives rise to the condition within the existential world through law of karma to condition a rebirth consciousness for them to come. That's why they are born with a pure mind, without ignorance. That's why they need to hold on to that sentient being within their form and mind. When they come, this form and mind, they need to hold on to this, to move. That's why without compassion, without sentient being, their vow cannot take form. Do you understand?
Oh, I sorry. Yeah. Does that mean to say, is this the part when it's the last part when they still have the residue for them to develop further to the ultimate?
No. The cultivation part is separate, Loretta. You have to understand. This one is to do the work.
Oh, okay. Understand.
So you need the mundane mind. You need the form and mind. Mm. And the form and mind is subject to the conditioned Dhamma within the conditioned world. That's why there are still sentient beings. There are still Four Noble Truths. There are still suffering, affliction.
Mm.
Old age, sickness, and death, like the Heart Sutra mentioned very clearly, in true emptiness, all this doesn't exist. The Bodhisattva know. So if they hold on to that, they cannot come back. They cannot do this work. That's why the Sutra teaches the Bodhisattva how to do this work. So if you don't have the understanding of both sides, you cannot understand the way of the Bodhisattvas. The perfection to become Sama Sambuddha. The end of the day, he know you, he know me. Everything is empty. Then whatever you say is also empty. No meaning. But there is such thing as life. There is such thing as existence. There is such thing as perfection, cultivation. Because the two are different reality. One is the unconditioned. The other one is the conditioned. So we need to have wisdom from both dimensions, the conditioned and the unconditioned. And when you have both, you can use that understanding to come back and live life. Then life become meaningful. Life become wonderful. Then life take a turn. It has its own beauty. It has its own reality. That everything is, even though unreal, but there is such thing as life. There is joy. There is peace. There is tranquility. There is stillness. Of course, there is also affliction when there is lack of wisdom, without wisdom. But the bodhisattva, when they come, they have the wisdom connected because they already cultivated before. And through their vow, their bodhi mind, all this will surface. Like this life, my nature connect back very fast. And I developed the understanding and inherited my past very fast. Then in the year 1989, this nature actually recall back everything. It understand all this because it has inherited from the spiritual nature. That's how all this become possible. That's why my nature can share and give you all this understanding. Otherwise, it's not possible. How can a living being, just one life, come to this existential world, have all this understanding? It's impossible. Even the basic cultivation to be an enlightened being through the sainthood way leading to arahantship is already so difficult. Take them so long. Samsara. What more to become a bodhisattva, to go the bodhisattva way to perfect itself to become Sammasambuddha? That's why the Buddha shared with us that it takes them eons and eons and eons of cultivation. And all this cultivation require very deep understanding of the unconditioned and the conditioned world. Without these two understanding, you cannot perfect yourself. You cannot have the wisdom to actually live life, understand life, and do this work to save the limitless sentient being, to take them all across, to perfect your own perfection, to become Sammasambuddha, to realize that perfection of wisdom and virtue. So all this demand understanding and demand a lot of sacrifice, a lot of hard work, a lot of faith, a lot of perseverance. That's why you must have great compassion, great loving kindness. Without this, you cannot. This work is not for ordinary people. This work is for special beings who really very sincere, who has the understanding. Otherwise, it's not possible. So, Loretta, hopefully with this explanation, you start to develop better understanding of what is being shared in the sutta. The sutta, sometimes you don't understand, it can be very confusing. It's just like the Buddhist teaching, the Buddha's teaching. A lot of people never question this. Because the Buddha teach actually very beautiful Dhamma and he never contradict himself. But if you don't have the understanding, you will think the Buddha contradict himself. Why? I give you one very clear example. That the Buddha taught us anicchang dukkhang anatta. And you know what is anatta? Anatta is non-self, empty nature, not a permanent unchanging entity. Then on the other hand, he said, we are all born our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So what is going on? One side, there is an I born of my karma, heir to my karma, conditioned, supported by my karma. And I am what I am because of it. Then the other side, he said, he no you, he no me, empty, anatta. Did he contradict himself? No. Because the Buddha is referring to the form and mind when he talked about you or all sentient being, all living being. We are all born our karma. He's referring to the form and mind. He's not referring to that true nature. He's referring to the form and mind. And this form and mind is subject to karma. That's why it is born of karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are with your karma. But he said this form and mind, which is the five aggregate of form and mind, is not you. This one is a conditioned arising phenomena. That's why it has its universal characteristics of impermanent, lead to suffering when you attach and cling. And because it's impermanent, it is anatta, non-self. There is not a permanent unchanging entity. And you must not be gullible. You must not attach. You must not cling. That's why he said, this five aggregate of form and mind is impermanent, lead to suffering, and empty, non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity. So when you understand this, then you realize the Buddha never contradicts himself. So it's just like this sutta of infinite meaning. When he say, hold on to the thought of sentient being, it doesn't mean that that being doesn't understand that if you hold on with delusion, it is attachment, craving. Then you will be affected, afflicted. So all this the Bodhisattva know, but they use that to manifest the condition for them to come back as Bodhisattva, for them to do this work, to fulfill their vows, their duty. So these are very deep understanding of the cultivation, the way. That's why initially, don't try to understand. Because when you try to understand, initially it can create confusion and doubt. Then you think it's contradictory. No. That's why I say, don't try to know. Cultivate sincerely. Develop the sati, the mindfulness, the awareness. Then perfect yourself, stabilize that nature, then develop the meditative training to awaken. When you awaken, all this understanding will fall into place and you will understand. Okay?